Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another SEO webinar here at WP Studio. That's right, I said SEO because everything that has to do with broken links, what they are, how to find them, how to fix them, it all comes down to SEO. And there's another user experience level that we will also talk about. So in order to kind of dive into this conversation, we need to have a story. And I'm going to share with you all one of the things that the wifey and I absolutely love. On her way to the office, when we leave the boat, there is an incredible mom and pop, actually it's five sisters, who started a Filipino diner. They have some of the best Filipino breakfast food around. It just really tastes good. And again, as I said, it's the mom and pop type thing. It's the five sisters who started this diner. And they have their office hours, or sorry, their restaurant hours on their website. And you can see what time they're going to be there. Well, so we do all our planning. We avoid traffic. We make our way to this diner. We're all excited about having food there, and we've timed it just right. And we get there, and then all of a sudden, we see that sign closed. When we get there, we look at the website. It says it's supposed to be open. Well, probably because they haven't arrived yet, or they're still cooking some of the food, or somebody just simply is in the restaurant and they forgot to open the door. Why do I say all those things? Because each one of those things have actually happened to us, where we had to knock on the door and they say, oh no, we're not ready yet. They haven't come back from the bank, or they haven't come back from the grocery store yet. We can't open yet. Or, oh, I forgot to open the door. Come on in. But the disappointment that we have anytime we get to this restaurant and it says closed, that is what a broken link is for a website. It is simply a point of disappointment, thinking that the visitor who's coming to the site for information, they expect to see something and nothing happens. So while there is a user disappointment, this is the whole problem of broken links on the internet within digital marketing. So when they follow links to or from your site, they're expecting certain content to be available to them. See, broken links, as we said, are not just bad for user experience. They can also be extremely harmful to your SEO, to your relationship with search engines. So not only do we have to avoid linking out to broken links, we have to avoid having our own site have issues, and we need to spend just a little bit of time before we dive into the issues of broken links, we need to talk about the two different types of broken links. So the first one, and again, broken links do one thing in a technical aspect on a server. Broken links trigger a 404 page error. So an Apache server and most servers out there, they will have a method of triggering in the error logs a 404 error, and then you can use tools to analyze that. But guess what? Your server isn't the only one tracking 404 errors. When your server kicks a 404 error, the search engine that sent somebody there, the search engine that triggered the 404 error, will also log that 404. So there are really two types of 404 errors or broken links that cause there. There's the internal link, and that is a link that goes from one page of your site to another. One of the easiest ways to think about this, if we go to our little sample page and if we were to hover over this link, basically if you look down at the very bottom, you'll see it says muffin.html. Because there is no HTTP, there is no other domain name included in the URL, this will be treated as an internal link. It's expecting the link to be in the same domain, in the same folder. It's right there on the same site, and it's expecting that. And so when we visit that site and all of a sudden we kick up a 404 error, see, this is actually, man, we couldn't even find this because it didn't even look for things on the internal one. So this is another thing that you should know. The ways WordPress works, if you simply put the URL, the end URL, like muffin.html on your site, thinking it will reflexively adapt and add the domain name, it will not. So I just wanted to point that out there. There's a difference here. This is actually treated as an external URL broken link. So I'm spending the time doing this because in the past, in old days, a lot of times, if we simply put the extension, the file name and the extension, without any of the domains, the browser itself would just automatically attribute it to that domain. WordPress, by default, doesn't do that. So what we'd have to do is we'd have to come in here, and I'm just going to show you that this is... Where's our, this one? So if we were to edit this one, see how WordPress will automatically simply add an HTTP? Even though I did this. It's one of these, this is a trail. So bear with me one second. We're kind of getting a little off track. I'm showing you basically a bug in WordPress, but it's a bug that where your clients are simply used to an old way of adding something, we're going to have that issue. So if they just do the old way, now if they want something that's directly on the server, they can do a forward slash. And by doing a forward slash, now if I update this, it will be treated as a internal link. So we can come back over to our page, we can click this, and now you'll notice how it now includes our domain name. And it's going to give us the WordPress 404 error. So basically, this little rabbit trail was just a reminder that if you are internally linking, and here's the other thing, internally linking when you're doing in WordPress, WordPress made life so much easier when we are internally linking, because in our link options, we are given a list of all of the posts. So we could click there, and it's going to automatically put the proper URL, the thing. Brent, the reason why it added HTTP is because that is the default setting. It's not because we didn't reference anything about the server, or we didn't reference anything about the site with the forward slash. We just simply typed in muffin.html. So it's not something it's defaulting on that. I don't think on this site, there's no plugin that forces everything to go to HTTPS on this test site. You might not have that issue, but again, you would still get a broken link. So you can deal with this on the internal. So I'm going to actually put this back to, and we're going to actually make it so, yes, it's internal, but we're going to change this so it's actually an improper URL. Top 10. We'll just get rid of muffin. Oops. Top muffin. So we're just going to actually make our own little internal. It doesn't go anywhere. There is no top muffin URL. Okay. So in the conversation about internal links, those are simply just, this is what's going on inside your site. This is the stuff that you control. It's very important that you have on a regular basis, whether it's monthly, whether it is you know, depending on how often the website is updated or managed or accessed by your clients, you need to have a set schedule where you are scanning internal links to make sure you don't have any broken links that are internal, that you are causing the link to go to someplace else. Why is this important? Because we should already be working hard to get our sitemaps to tell Google about all of our web pages internal on the site that we need them to look at. And if any of those have internal links, that's going to be even more costly than external links, because Google understands that you control those internal links. So from what I've been able to find, the penalty in terms of how quickly Google or other search engines penalize you for having 404 errors, the internal ones are cause that trigger to happen quicker. The other one is external links. These are ones that we can't control. But this is also why we want to be able to have a scan that does this. So if we were to come over to this post where I actually linked off to an external page at muffinman123987.com Gutenberg, which doesn't exist, I will get a 404. Even if this server exists or this domain exists, I would still trigger a 404. And because it is going to a different domain name, it is an absolute 404 that we get blamed for. It's the penalty is not as bad as internal, but it's our responsibility to correct those. Not to correct those on the other person's site, but probably to remove that link. Even if you have a no fault, doesn't matter. Those still trigger 404 errors. So the other interesting thing is that there are lots of companies, big companies, that have lots of web pages. And a lot of times we will link to those for reference materials or information. Or maybe you've got a client who has a local community website and you've built a community directory. And the client, one of the restaurants, had submitted their menu page to your local community directory. And so that goes there. And then all of a sudden, they change their entire website to a one-page website, and there now is no fee, would get penalized for continuing to link to a broken page. So these happen here. And so maybe this technical conversation of where we get penalized in our SEO will help. And Brent, yes, we'll talk about what SEO Studio can do. Broken links are actually a huge issue in the conversion process. It's your revenue. Because you may be spending money on advertising, getting people to come to the site. Broken links cause that break. And as we talked about in the opening, if we arrive at a restaurant that we're really looking forward to, or we were enticed by a specific ad that we were going to click through, or a promotion that's happening, or an email that's linking things in, and we get there and it's not there, that's a bad experience. And I believe I had done, I read a KISS metrics, which is kind of like was a marketing metric monthly issue, that 44% of all users tell others when they have bad experiences with somebody. They don't always tell people when they have good experiences. But that's almost half the people who have a bad experience or basically hit a 404 error are going to tell others that, you know, that site was broken. And actually, in anecdotal evidence, how often do we tell the story, or I tell the story of when we broke the FBI website because we forced it to get 404 errors on its homepage because they didn't have a redirect on HTTP versus HTTPS. It's one of those weird things that when something breaks, we tell people about it. Now, 404 errors also affect your bounce rate, whether that is internal or external. Remember, Google is tracking how long people are on a site, your client's site, your own sites. And its bounce rate is measured by the amount of time a visitor spends on the page. And if the user doesn't spend any time because they just, I went to this page. Oh, let me back up because there's nothing there. It's a 404. All of a sudden, our authority, our value number, whatever it is in the Google algorithm, is going to start going down. And all of a sudden, Google's just going to say, you bounced from that page because they didn't find what they were looking for. Of course they didn't. It was a 404. And so therefore, now we start to see Google flagging things as less credible, less reliable. We would see our homepage, even if there's nothing wrong with the homepage, if we have other 404 errors, the domain itself will lose its credibility, and therefore the rankings of good pages will start to go down. So dealing with these broken links and the other major aspect, as Sherry pointed out, if you're not in the chat room, Sherry pointed out that when we transition a website from one place to another or build a new website, yes, we're going to deal with broken links all over the place, just because we probably won't be able to catch all the old stuff. Or we don't know, maybe it was another developer who built the original site. So we have to spend extra time working on that. And yes, there are ways that you can go through that and deal with those things. You can create spreadsheets. You can do all those things. But at the end of the day, even if you have a really good website that you have locked down, you have done everything you've done, and you haven't touched it in a year, so therefore you know all the internal links are perfectly fine, external links also cause issues to your bounce rate. And unless you are checking them periodically, you're not going to know that ESPN went and changed one or deleted one of their articles or changed the URL of the location. They didn't link it. And now you are the one perpetuating a broken link. And so therefore, you're going to be held responsible in your SEO, not ESPN or something like that. So we've got some broken links on this page. So I wanted to spend the next part of this conversation looking at how SEO Studio can help you. So SEO Studio with the add-on definitely allows you to dive in and do multiple things with your SEO regarding links. So the first thing that we do need to look at is in the add-on features. So this is the add-on plugin. There is the ability for you to track 404s. So this is, as it says, not only user performance, user experience, Google issues, all these things. So all you have to do is actually check the box. Now, if you get a lot of broken links or 404s visiting, you can delete them yourself, or you can automatically have these purged every 30 days. The nice thing about this is if you already have a custom 404 page, this is where it's helpful. If you have a custom 404 page, which you have built on a regular WordPress page, which has information like a search area, here's recommended things, how can we help you, do you want to get in touch with us, here's a form to contact us, and maybe we can help you find what you're looking for, whatever. you can actually redirect it to a custom URL. And then this way it will take care of 404s. You don't need to go create a 404 template. You don't need to go create a 404.php in the theme folder. You can simply use this. So all 404s would get redirected. Plus, if you are enabling 404 monitoring, it will still track them while still being gracious to the client and sending them off to another location. So that's one thing that is going. And if you choose to redirect 404s, these are one of these ones that you can choose whether or not you're going to do a 301, 302, 307. These are redirections that if you've already set it to go to a new location, it's going to the next time. So let's do this. If I set this to be homepage and somebody goes to visit Muffin, the next time somebody visits wpoutloud.com/muffin, if I have this 301 redirect, you're going to actually see it's going to automatically create a new 301 redirect. So the next person that shows up and the next search bot that goes up, it's going to automatically take that Muffin and 301 redirect it to the homepage. If you do custom URL, it's going to redirect it to that. If you do not want any automatic redirection, automatic rewriting, you can turn it off. If the Muffin page later, yeah, it will remove the 301. Because it only keeps those if something doesn't exist. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave this off for now. We already have this enabled. Let's go over to our WP Out Loud. And let's create a blah muffin. And we see that, hey, we've got a 404. Now, we can go back over here and we're going to access our 404s and 301s. We're going to see that, guess what? We now have a blob muffin. One person visited. Now, if I do it again, it's going to, again, say a 404. And we grab this, and now there's three people who have visited this. From this location, we can edit this and say, you know, going forward, we need this blob muffin to automatically go to sample page like this, update. Now we can go back in to our, I'm going to go back to my redirections list just so you see it. Okay, so now we have an automatic redirection enabled, checked. It's now a 301, it's going to this location. So the next person who goes to Blah Muffin is 301 redirected to sample page. So we can track these things. We can see what's going on. And again, you can import and export your, it's over here on the tools and migrations, see how we can import redirections, export redirections. You just click the export, take it all out. You can import that's not the CSV example. That's going to get a error. That's going to go to a 404 page. I need to fix that. Okay. So from this, let me go back to this page. So at this point, if we go all the way back, let me go back here to our, I have one more. Or another one. Trying to get back to there here, features. Okay, so this will allow us to begin to automatically track everything. Everything goes into this feature. Brent, actually, yes. So as a quick thing, if you have a massive site that has hundreds of pages that used to be there and you want to redirect it into a single page website, basically all you have to do is automatically run this And no matter what people do, if there's no link or there's no page that exists on that WordPress site, it's going to go to the homepage. And it will automatically write all the 301 redirects the first time anybody tries to visit that. So, yeah, I mean, I had never thought about that, but that is definitely something that if you have an old school client who just has an old HTML page with tons of pages off, and they're like, you know, we need to scrap all that, archive that stuff, and then just get us a nice landing page for now. And this will prevent you from having issues. Okay, so this 404 tracks other people linking to us. So this is the SEO, not really for us other than having broken links, but it's other people who link into our site or visit our site, that there are broken links out there on our site. We have fixed this. We would be able to track all the redirections. Now, so this will automatically log what people say. The other thing is, you can use this redirection list to simply add your own. What's the old URL? Without the domain name, because it already is assumed that you're talking about wpoutloud.com. And then you can enable the redirection, type your thing in there. This could be even something that you want things to go off-site. So let's say you are doing a server pilot. This is your link. We can go serverpilot.io, and I have no idea what a reference, I'm just pretending this is an affiliate. So basically, if I publish this, now, if somebody goes to wpoutloud.com server pilot, it's going to redirect them to server pilot. And again, that's not an actual affiliate thing. So, and then, well, the best thing about this, you now have a redirection list that will start tracking how many times people have gone through that affiliate link. And absolutely, it could go to your Twitter page. You can now start using this as something that will track. Now, here's one little thing. If I put mine, these are things that I entered. If I do all, or, you know, go to everything. Come on. Load this up. Generated by the 404 watcher. Okay, why is WP out loud? Hopefully we're still connected to the internet. I think so. Oh, there we are. So Brent just put one in there, and that's not mine. A, it knew that I created these because I was logged in, I visited. Somebody else, some other website, some other thing. Yes, Sherry, the sound was wonky. So the mine is me, the owner, the admin, the person who was logged in is the person who dealt with these, who built these. If somebody else, an outside website, comes in, it's going to show up under all. So basically, this is a way that we can simply, which are the ones that I have dealt with, that I have personally created, I have either built myself or I visited the site and I created the 404, you can deal with that. Because especially if you are the developer, this is why this is set up like this. If you are the developer, sometimes we're going to be testing all sorts of stuff. So when you get ready to publish a site for a client, you can come back over here to the mine and you can say, you know what? Do I need these at all? Because this was simply for a test. I don't need these redirections or these 404 logs in here because I know it was something that I did as the person who's logged in under this account. So it's a neat little thing. But it should be able to help anybody. It's just one of those. It's just one of those things that I thought would be helpful. I don't know. My brain said, if I'm testing things, I want to get rid of my testing stuff before I launch something or make it go live. And that's a way, especially if as it goes live, you get lots of errors, we can deal with that. Brent, that's a good question. Right now, no, but it's something to think about. Okay. So it doesn't stop there, because if we create redirections, that's like just going in and creating a URL forward. Or we can track our own 404s by other people visiting our website or other people linking in. There is also, in SEO Studio, a link checker. This link checker is what's looking for internal and external links. This is our internal links in the content and our external links that we are linking inside our own content going to other websites. Now, the settings for this, basically it allows which post types do you want to scan, how many do you want to do. If you scan link type, it's going to then say, is this a 404? Is this what type of an error are we getting? You can scan 404s only. I'm going to uncheck that. And we can save. Default is 5 seconds, because if the server doesn't respond for 5 seconds, the bot's going to stop. If you have a slower server, you might want to push this up. But that means it's just going to keep waiting and keep running through the server using server resources. You can try that. Now, Sherry, yes. Actually, we will... I'll actually show you, we will create a PDF that doesn't exist. So before, I'm going to save these changes. Before we run the scan, let's go back over to our sample page. And we're going to create a new link. Let's come over here. Let's see. I wonder if I have a PDF. Let's link. I don't know if I have a PDF on here. Let's check. I have zip files. I have image files. All right, we'll just make it up. We'll just make up a PDF file. So what it's looking for, and this may make a little more sense, it's looking for muffin.pdf. It's not looking to see if that file exists. It's looking to see if there is a returned error that it couldn't find that. So it's not going through your media file library and saying, oh, here's all of your PDFs, and these three are not linked to anything. All right, so let's. I have an internal link. I have a link to a PDF that doesn't exist, and I have an external link. So now that are all broken, we can go to our link checker and we can request the bot. And it's going to run through, again, there's only a few pages on this, so it's going to be really quick. We found 6 broken links. There's 6 issues. So we can view the scan results. Now the scan results are here. They're also here, the link checker list. We can view the scan results and we can see, you know what? There are some issues that are going on to this one. Now, I already did this. Let's go look at this. PDF, sample page, sample page, sample page. There are issues. And this writing a new post in Gutenberg has been attempted to be visited. Now, here's the other thing. This is when you have a count, basically you've got somebody who's actually clicked on that. So somebody actually clicked on this, which got us an error. So Now, since this is the broken link location, you kind of have to remember what this URL is. We can now visit the post, the location of the issue. We edit. And what you're going to have to do is then find the link on this. A lot of the easiest time is just go into the text or something, find that URL, and that is the issue that we're having. So again, you'd want to fix that because that's an external. That's not going to, we can't do a 301 redirection there because we don't own that server, and we'd have to fix that. So with our link checker that stores all this information, it gives us, basically this is the type of the thing. And if there is an anchor text, that also could help. I don't have any anchor text built into this, but it will find if there's an anchor text in the link. So you can see what it's going on. We can see that this is an error. Now, if you click this one on the left-hand side, you're going to, it takes you right to the page for you to look at it. So both of them take you right to the edit area, both the source and the broken link. They both go to the location. Once you have fixed them, you can either fix them by, if they're internal, creating your redirection list or fixing the URLs. So your goal is never to have broken links on this page. This is not, you're not going to be scanning broken links every day. This is not something, this is not a plugin that is going to automatically scan it for you. And that's a resource intensive thing. That's not something I wanted to add to a plugin, a WP Studio plugin. I did not want to drag your servers into the mud, which it will if you have a lot of links. I know there's at least one or two. Now, great question, Brent. I have not built in, and maybe it's something to think about. This is not going to email you lists of, it's not going to go in and send you an email when it finds broken links. That's why this is there for you to go in and run the scan, and then you can export it. Because it's not going to do any fixing. It's just going to give you a scan, a look. Sherry, yes. This part of SEO Studio can easily replace the redirections plugin. Now, the redirection plugin goes so much deeper and can do a lot more advanced regex type stuff. SEO Studio is not going to do that. SEO Studio is simply there to solve and fix your 301s, your 404s, internal and external broken links. The broken link checker is something that can be set on autopilot. It will email you whenever that comes. I'm of the opinion that if you need that type of service, you should probably be using an offsite service that will periodically run the scans on your site, not an internal server scanner. Running broken link checkers is resource intensive for any server. So that's where it's simply there for you to initiate. And yeah, you will actually slow down your site if you have constantly monitoring broken links from inside WordPress, because it's constantly running. And for most sites, you're not constantly looking at the exact same thing. At least that's how my brain was thinking. So at the end of the day, with broken links, what we want to avoid is a term that Google and other SEO gurus or something, they came up with, and that's link rot, R-O-T. Link rot is basically the same thing as if you have rotten food in your refrigerator. Anytime you open the refrigerator, it's going to smell, even if you just put all brand new stuff, or if you have anything rotten in there, it's just going to permeate everything. Same thing for your SEO. If you have link rot, broken links that don't go anywhere, and Google has come to one, two, three times, and it's still a broken link. That is link rot, and your SEO rankings, your client SEO rankings, will go down. So, as for many of you, you already do these maintenance packages, these ongoing relationships with the clients, whether it's managing their updates, their backups, all these type of things. You should really think about, you know, even using a name like link rot protection. And part of that would be something like you run periodic scans just to make sure everything is still valid. Everything validates. There's no link rot. There's no anything. Great question, Brent. You can't really scan. You can't use a WordPress plugin to scan other sites that are linking to you. There are there are services out there, and they can be expensive, that will try and scan everything. It's not going to be helpful. I don't think it's worth it at all. Why? Because the moment a search bot or a crawler or an actual human visits one of those external sites that is linking to you, that it is to a site that is no longer there, you're going to get a 404 error. And so therefore, it's going to trigger here. And it's going to allow you to create the URL redirection. So if nobody is linking through from somebody else's web server to your site, to a page that no longer exists, and no search bot is doing it, I mean, that's the age-old story. If a tree falls in this forest, does anybody hear it? There might be a way, you can run broken link scans. There's just do a free search for broken link scans. You'll be able to put in a URL, and basically it's just going to look at the homepage or whatever the actual URL. It's just going to visit every single link and tell you if there are errors. So in terms of just immediately quickly scanning a future client site, that's one thing you could do. The other thing to do is, if you are dealing with this and you have server stuff coming in and you can figure out where they're coming in from. Actually, that's something I should add. I should have thought about that. Incoming URL. So that you know where if it triggers a 404, it will, because that's something that is actually in the data of the server. We can put the URL where it came from so that you can contact the owner of the site and say, hey, you know, you're linking to an old article that is no longer there. Here's the updated link. So these are the important things of dealing with broken links. Now I'm going to give you two or three resources that might help. One of them is if you simply use Google Chrome, I'll put this in the chat room. You can just grab a link like an add-on for this. You add it to Google Chrome, and basically if you visit a potential client's website, you can actually, it will scan every single link and see whether or not they actually go somewhere or they don't go somewhere. And you get this visual representation. Now you have to visit every single page. It's not going to like scrape the entire site. So that's one option that you can use. Let's see if there's one other one. Where's my... Where's my link? Now, I wanted to clarify one other thing, and I did put this in the notes. of the handout that you'll see. And this is more clarification. I didn't want people to get too confused on this. At the beginning, I really hammered home that it's going to 404 errors and other broken links are going to cause issues with your SEO. Now, Google has come out and says that simply having 404 errors won't necessarily harm your SEO. Now, part of this is because people who have 404 errors and they're redirecting you to a 404 page, which is helpful to the person who's coming, Google's okay with that. Okay, you have 404 errors, so you're now sending them to a 404 page, which is helping. That's perfectly fine. But where it does experience harm is the higher bounce rates of people not finding what they're looking for because they're looking at a default 404 page and they exit out or they're trying to do other things. It's more user experience things that are going to cause issues with your SEO. So simply having 404 errors on your page isn't the end of the world. We can send them to a 404.php in the theme file. We can create our own 404 page. These are all helpful things. Even simply just saying, hey, sorry, what you're looking for isn't here anymore. That's still a valid return page according to Google. So I wanted to point that out there one more time. Now, I will say for most of what we do, yes, there are premium tools that will do 404 error, Screaming Frog, SEO Spider, all these type of things. But for most, simply doing free scans can get an overview of a future client's web page. And then once you're managing their website, you can use tools like broken link checkers or other things, or SEO Studio, the redirection plugin, anything that will log 404s and automatically redirect them. Those are things that you can do to ongoingly manage the site and the user interface. So those are the things to understand when it comes to dealing with broken links on a page. Simply having 404s is not the end of the world. Google has said that. It's what we do with them after the fact. It's what we do with internal links, external links, people coming in, how we redirect them. And it's one of those ones that I honestly think if you are a type of developer or dealing with your clients who you set a certain number of things, like on Monday and Thursdays, I make backups, and then every other times it's automatic backups. And then on Fridays, I send reports. Maybe it's simply one of those ones. On Tuesdays, I just go and check and see how the links are doing. And I'll spend an hour and a half going through each of the sites, hitting that. And then if there's anything I need to fix, great. Fix it, log it for the report to the client. It's that important, and it will help maintain the viability of their SEO ranking. So I hope this has been helpful, having this conversation. If anything comes up that you weren't quite sure about or you want to ask additional questions, go ahead and ask them in Slack. Our end goal is to get rid of link rot, these web pages and sites that have either disappeared from the internet or completely changed the website and now their links don't work. And so we've got to update those for our sites, for our client sites, as well as manage our own redirections. So have a great rest of the Wednesday, and I will see you all later.